This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. What's going on? Welcome to season six of the podcast. Today's episode, I wanted to dive into something I see over and over again. And this message is mostly for the sales leaders out there, the business owners. However, if you're listening to this and you're in sales, you work for a company, you're on a team, then this definitely could apply to you. So make sure to listen, look at it from the lens from your side and see where this might apply to you or where you're contributing to this. Now, for the leaders and the business owners out there, here's one of the things that I see. I saw this with a client recently, and from the outside, it was very frustrating. They brought me in to do some training sessions. So we did the selling effectiveness training that I do. We did 4 one-hour workshops. It was all via Zoom. It was virtual. They had their team all working remote and spread out like most people are these days. Part of the program is to send everyone a book so that they have Selling with Authentic Persuasion as the basis, and then we go through things that are applicable to them and what they do in their industry. And they're a B2B industry. They're selling and calling on businesses and getting people enrolled into their program, and I'll leave the details at that. So we do the sessions. There's a lot of great synergy with the owners of the company, this two people individual in particular, and then the team members that were on there. Now, one of the things that was interesting is that during the sessions, which were all on video and I was on video, there was only a handful of people on video, the two owners, and then a couple of other people on the team, and then most everyone had their cameras off and they weren't engaging. The first, you know, portion of the training was mostly just me sharing information, doing the training based on what the owners of the company wanted me to cover. And then there was time for Q&A at the end. And the questions either came from the owners or the a few members of the team, mostly the ones who were on camera. We did those 4 sessions. They were great. Lots of value. Lots of great feedback. A lot, you know, when we get to the second, third, fourth sessions that we did, then you know, people coming back, the owners and some of the reps saying, hey, I tried this, I used it, it worked, I'm seeing these results. So lots of good feedback. Then when I do a post analysis and kind of debrief with the owners, they shared with me that one of the biggest things that they heard was their two main salespeople, the two people that are their biggest contributors or the ones they're looking at contributing the most, did not get anything from the sessions. They had their cameras off. They didn't take any notes. This is the feedback they gave them. They didn't take any notes. They're not using any of it. And they thought it was a waste of time because they already know how to sell and they felt like maybe it was below them. Partly where this feedback came from was one of the owners had a call, you know, kind of a ride along with somebody else, and noticed that they literally didn't use anything from the sessions, which then prompted them to ask. Now, when we're talking about doing more projects together in this kind of scenario, the reason I share this is because one of the things is that crossroads as owners who wanted this, who want to help their team get better, right? I have another client, he loves the phrase, sharpen your swords, right? Like he brings me in to help the team sharpen their swords. If you're doing well and you're successful, that kind of person, that kind of mindset, they just want to keep doing better and better. They want to keep getting more efficient, more effective, more profitable, whatever that is, right? Do more and not have to necessarily work harder, but do more. And so it's all about sharpening the sword. It's not just about someone who's at zero getting them to perform. Sometimes it's about people who are doing well and helping them do better or helping them uncover what might be missing. Now, here's where this came in, is that talking to the owners about moving forward and figuring out what the next plan would be, because 4 one-hour seminars are great, but that really is kind of like going to a movie and afterwards, like it was a fun experience, but it's not going to change your life and you're not going to do anything different, right? You go to a nice dinner and afterwards, at some point the next day, it's in the past, right? And if you do training and then not follow on and not making sure that there's accountability and coaching and putting it into practice, then it's going to go in one ear and out the other, mostly because it just doesn't have the sustainability. It's not something you're working on. You can't change habits, especially if you've been in sales, if you've been doing things a certain way for a long time, it's tough to change. Now, what I will say is that you can go through some training seminars and you can get yourself to change and you can do things differently, right? So some of the feedback I'm still getting from this one particular client is that they're still using it, the ones who are using it and getting results, which is amazing. So here's the issue, and this is why I'm talking about this on today's episode, is the situation with this company in particular is that they don't want to necessarily have me come in because they're worried that the team won't use what is being taught. Or if I come in and make any changes, they won't like that and they might lose these two top performers. And keep in mind, the two owners are really the top performers because they're still selling. And then there's these other salespeople. And so they're concerned about that. And they also don't want to waste their money and, you know, pay for something to happen and then nobody get value, or not enough people get value, or not the right people they really want to get value. And so here's the thing, and this is my biggest concern. And I see this situation so often. If there's one objection or concern that I get more than anything coming from a place of sales, consulting, coaching, training, is the concern that companies have, owners have, about if their team is going to change. Will their team actually take it into effect, or will they see someone like me coming in trying to help them as something worrying and concerning, and they're just going to push back, or they're going to quit, or they think that, you know, it's a sign of something bad coming in and it could cause things to get worse. My feeling about that is that if you're running a company or running a team and you are worried about your team not accepting change, accepting help, and not using the resources you want to bring in to help the business improve and everyone to improve, then that is a dangerous scenario. That should be really worrying to you. Partially when you have your eggs in the basket of one or two or a few salespeople and that you're worried about upsetting them, then really at some point the prisoners are running the prison. And for you salespeople that are listening to this, if you're in that kind of scenario where you feel like you have the power and if the company tries to put anything in place, like you're just going to, rally a mutiny against it so that you don't have to change, that's something for you to look at as well. Like, why are you resisting it? Now, sometimes companies want to put things in and they just don't understand and they're not close enough to the front lines and they're putting in things that they think are good or somebody sold them as good, like a different CRM or something else, and it's really not good, right? And there's times where as a leader and as a consultant, I take that feedback from the team and have learned to really inspect and inquire and find out what people are really dealing with and what would actually help versus just assuming that, okay, because we have this idea, this is the best thing to do. The other thing is that if you're in that scenario as a salesperson and your goal is to be a sales professional, then why are you resisting it? Keep in mind the business is there to make money. Their goal is to make money. Their goal is to be successful. Their goal is to help you be successful. If they think there's something that needs to be rolled out or done or changed, implemented, training to be brought in, then embrace that. They want to win. If you were on a sports team and they brought in something to help everyone win more games, considering that the team and the owners of the team are there to win, that is their goal, right? Not to have a money pit, not to have a mutiny, not to have a team of people who don't want to do what's needed to win and put in the effort. If everyone realizes that, then they would embrace it. They would be excited. Right? You want to have that mindset for change. That's why in the book, one of the two main sales success principles that I have in there are openness and curiosity, being open to that change. Now, back to you owners and team leads, sales leaders that are listening to this. If you're in that scenario where you're afraid of bringing in someone like me or making a change or implementing something or even having someone like me come in to do training or coaching, which is all positive and supportive, then that should worry you. Especially, and here's the big thing, if you have any kind of a goal for improvement. If you're doing $10 million a year and your goal is to get to $100 million a year, how are you going to do that? How do you think that's going to happen? Do you think it's going to happen by having the same people that you're afraid of upsetting and doing anything different and hoping that they just keep getting better on their own without any kind of outside incentive, without any outside pressure, with any accountability, basically expecting them to be adults and be professionals? You're never going to get there. You can't go from here to there with a business, with goals, doing the same thing you've always done, right? I mean, that's it's cliche and we hear it all the time, but that's the definition of insanity, expecting different results even though you're doing the same thing over and over again, right? If you're running a team and you don't do anything different, don't have any processes, don't have a comp plan, accountability, one-on-ones, consequences, you don't do anything different, you won't have a different business. You're basically hoping that the team is going to figure it out or the market's going to change in your favor or something easy is going to happen, and that's not sustainable. It might happen, but that's not sustainable and it's not scalable. If you want a business and a sales team that grows and improves, you have to do things different. You have to put in systems, processes, training, coaching, proper leadership, accountability. You've got to have a system. You've got to have a sales operation. So the biggest thing you need to focus on and look at is that if you're here with your business and you want to be there, you have a goal of being in a different place to improve and to be at a higher level in your business, what are you going to have to do to make that happen? What will you have to put in place? What will you have to change? And what are you willing to deal with as a consequence of that change? Now, here's the biggest thing, and this is what I tell all my clients. When I first start out, my goal is to be the purveyor of hope. This is what I tell the sales teams as well. My goal when I come into a company is not to liquidate everybody. I'm not one of the Bobs from Office Space. It's not about cutting headcount and doing, no. It's what can we do as a business? What can I do to support your business to build things, put things in place to support everyone in playing a better game and then getting more people on the team if that's what you want to do so we can keep improving. It's never to be the bringer of death, which is what I think a lot of people think that I'm going to come in and do, or any consultant, any good consultant should do, good trainer, good coach. And so the key is to focus on the fact that what can you build? What needs to be built? Where are the weaknesses in your process? What could you improve to help that? Now, the other big thing, this is the key, is that if you're worried about a select few number of salespeople on your team who are kind of carrying the workload, that should also keep you up at night. And so one of the biggest things you can do is, how do you improve everyone else? How everybody else on the team, if they're B and C players, how do you make them A and B players and mitigate the production that's coming from your top few difficult, spoiled, enabled, entitled, put in your word here, salespeople that you're afraid of? Now, doesn't mean all top salespeople are that way, but if you're afraid of them, the question is why? And then how do you lift everyone else such that if they do leave or they don't like it, then it's not a bad thing. And sometimes you do have to go back to go forward, right? From a company culture standpoint, from a team perspective, how sometimes you just got to step back, one step back, to go 8 steps forward. So hope that helps today. Maybe that resonates with some of you. If you're listening to this, that could apply to you and your team. Obviously, reach out to me. You can email me at jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. And let's talk if this applies to your situation, whether you want some training for your team or you're like listening to this, we're 13 plus minutes in and you're like, holy crap, that's me. That's my situation. He's literally describing my sales team and my sales operation and what keeps me up at night. Then let's chat. Let's talk about what might help short term, long term. And as I had one client early on, he told me, and I love this phrase, which is what he told me was he wants an evolution, not a revolution. He wanted the team to evolve, the process to evolve, but not a revolution with the pitchforks and the angry, the meetings and all of that stuff. So that's the big thing to focus on. That's what I focus on. When it's done right, that's what you should have. So thank you for tuning in. Appreciate this. If you like this, wherever you're listening to podcasts, make sure to subscribe to the show. We're coming out season 6, as you've noticed, 5 days a week, a wide range of different episodes, from these kind of solo episodes on Fridays to replay of the weekly training sessions to 2 days of guest episodes to a clip show, short and sweet to help you in your sales or sales leadership focus. And so hope you're enjoying this. Thanks for tuning in. I'll catch you on the next episode.